Gib mir die Sachen.
Komm und komm.
What about you as a physician? What about the healthcare worker? يعني من الآن فصاعد حنا بنتكلم عن healthcare workers,
صحيح.
Which include doctors, nurses, anybody who works in the healthcare facility. ف يعني infections يعني ما راح تفرق بين الناس.
خلي
كم زميل فعلا.
Any introducing infections by any procedure. Doing, يعني by not doing proper aseptic techniques.
Okay. So you may be causing an infection to a patient by not complying with proper infection control practices.
Yes.
Not
washing your hands between patients.
Okay, this is one aspect. So basically all what you said is correct. Basically infections. Infections are hazardous to us as healthcare workers and to patients when they come to the healthcare. We're not talking about the community. I'm not talking a patient who will get pneumonia or meningitis in the street or at home. We're talking about the hospital setting, the healthcare setting, because this is a different setting which we have to, we work in. We are exposed. Our patients are exposed. So it is an area of hazard. زي اللي يشتغل في مصنع مثلا كيماويات وعرضه للتسمم من الكيماويات وعرضه للاكسبوجر وعرضه لل وهكذا. ف we are healthcare workers are at risk for ourselves to be to acquire infections from the hospital environment, particularly from patients, or we may cause harm to our patients by causing spreading infections either direct from ourselves. واحد يجي عنده انفلونزا, طبيب مثلا عنده انفلونزا في العياده, فكل واحد يمر عليه بيعطيه انفلونزا, فيطلع المريض بعد يومين ثلاثه he will come back with the flu because the doctor is having influenza. I'm more serious, a doctor who's carrying maybe hepatitis B and he works with the patient in surgery and so on, he may infect the patient. And the opposite, a patient who's HIV positive or hepatitis B positive may infect the healthcare worker during a procedure or during taking the blood or making an operation or whatever. So this is what we mean by health hazard. This is basically the summary. So the hospital environment is different from the community. It's an area where people with different illnesses will come to the hospital and you are dealing with them. The infection may not be apparent that you can avoid it. So you are at higher risk than the general population for certain infections. And therefore, our aim here is, in this tutorial, is to go over what are these important risks and how we can protect ourselves and protect our patients. And the subject is so wide that we cannot cover it in detail. So we'll give hints here and there, okay? ما في سبورة معلش. طيب, so who can list for me, give me examples of infections which we may acquire from patients?
Hepatitis B,
okay. What else? Anybody else? Neisseria meningitis. What am I, مدام بدينا هيباتيتس بي, خلونا نستمر في تراكت نخلص اللي نسميهم blood borne infections, ها؟ بعدين نروح للمننجات.
HIV.
هيباتيتس
سي.
ها؟
سي.
هيباتيتس سي, وإن كانت less يعني. Okay, so HIV, hepatitis B, hepatitis C. Okay. These are the three known viruses, but probably we have other viruses which we didn't know. Some of them we know, but we don't have real statistics about the risk. For example, HTLV-3 and HTLV-2, and also CMV, may be transmitted through blood and blood products. So there is other risks, but these are the more important. HIV and hepatitis B are very important. And what are the risks or behaviors which will lead to transmission of these viruses between patients or from patients to the doctor or the healthcare worker?
I'm
going
to say it while taking blood from a patient.
Okay.
I aspiration من joint aspiration ولا أي
so procedure
the procedure while
يعني not putting drops or shape but okay. So performing a procedure which will expose you to blood or body fluids, it doesn't have to be blood. Body fluids زي إيش؟
Airborne.
So joint fluids, peritoneal fluid, CSF, okay, pericardial effusion, any body fluids, OB-GYN, مثلا delivering a baby, neonatal fluids. But exposure to blood or body fluids carries the risk for you to acquire this. So that's why you have to be cautious and to avoid exposure to those fluids. This is very important. Also the opposite. Your fluid should not contaminate the patient. And this can happen by a needle prick. You could prick yourself and use the same needle to suture or to, this can happen. Or not properly sterilizing instruments between patients. مثلا استخدام نفس الإبرة لأكثر من مريض. لأنه الآن أصبح نادر. Dental procedures. تعرفون الدنتست يستخدمون أشياء كثيرة للحفر والخلع والهذا. So between patients, if it's not sterilized very well, it can carry a risk of carrying the virus. So this is very important. Okay. And the exposure can be by sharps, like the methodot needles or any sharp object, scalpel, or mashrat, broken glass, مثلا في المختبر تحصل أو كذا. Or by exposure directly to the mucous membranes to these fluids. And this can happen in the operating room. مثلا الجراح يقطع شريان وقش of blood ولا يفتح closed compartment with under pressure and get fluids. خلال الولادة أثناء delivery the ruptured membranes may splash you with fluids. But there's many incidences where fluids will be splashed into the face or the mucous membranes. And this can be a risk factor.
Touching the blood or touching the fluids
carries risk, or it carries a risk, but the risk is variable. يعني contact blood and contact skin doesn't carry significant risk, but blood on an intact لو كل واحد عنده dermatitis عنده يعني أي جروح في يده, the risk is higher. You never know that you have some small injuries around your nails. And this is كلنا عندنا شوية يعني lesions around the nails. So this is enough for a virus to enter your body. The same thing for the needle prick. Macul needle prick carries high risk. All of them carry, but the risk is variable. The hollow needles اللي مجوفة اللي تستخدم for drawing blood or infusion or taking biopsy, this is called hollow needle. This is carries the highest risk. The surface area حقها عالي. عندها two surfaces, الخارجي والداخل. But the amount of blood or body fluids contained or in those needles is much higher than the suture needle, which is small, and the surface area is small. But the risk from injury from the hollow needle is much higher than the risk from a suture needle. نفس الشيء عمق الجرح يعني deep wounds carry higher risk than superficial cutaneous wounds. But the needle, sometimes the needle can go deep into the hand or the foot or whatever, and the risk will be much higher. And these incidences happen. يعني ما احنا نتكلم عن شيء يعني نادر الحدوث. It happens. And patients or persons have been infected with these injuries. Imagine that somebody did a procedure with an HIV patient and they throw the needle into the garbage. يجي عامل النظافة المسكين يشيل الغارج. فهي will be stuck by the needle. النيدل راح تخرج الكيس وتخرج ال... and he will be stuck and he can acquire the infection. Okay. Or a needle يحطونها أحيانا مع الشاش والقطن والذات مع بعض. ف it can cause a risk. أو during the procedure في العمليات حق العظام ولا حق الجاينة ولا حق ال... they work into a small compartment, ويمكن ما يشوف what he's doing. فهي can be injured. The sharp injury ممكن تكون من ال instruments أو ممكن تكون مثلا من ال bone, fractured bone can injure the surgeon, cause serious problem. This is enough for the blood, عشان بس الوقت. فأنا قلت لكم we will not cover everything in detail. So we'll just give you hints on everything so you can be aware. So this is a group which called bloodborne pathogens, and the mode of transmission is through sharp injuries, okay? And the now we go to prevention. How to prevent this? How to prevent to protect ourselves from these infections?
Safety measure.
Huh?
Safety measure.
Safety measure. So wearing gloves.
Put the needle in a special place.
Okay, excellent. So proper, Samiha, proper sharp disposal. Okay. Handling sharp objects, تشمل طبعا the commonest is the needles, like تشمل broken glass, تشمل scalpels, تشمل any instrument which is sharp, which is contaminated. There is a special procedure how to handle it, okay? But number one is that it has to be handled with care. You have to be careful when you are carrying it, when you are moving it from one place to the other. Minimize the movement. Should not be, يعني ما تأخذ الإبرة وتعطيها الممرضة والممرضة تعطيها الثانية. لا, it should be the one who is using the needle should be the one to dispose it. So to minimize the movement of that sharp object. The second or third is to put it in the appropriate sharp container. الآن في الأجنحة حتحصلون العلب الصفراء وبعض الحمراء, okay, واللي عليها رسمة الهزم. Okay, this is called sharp containers. لها مواصفات خاصة العلب هذه, فيها منها الصغير وفي منها الكبير وفي منها السطر الكبير على حسب الشاربس اللي توضع فيها. This is called sharp containers. It has, يعني ما هو أي container, it has special characters. Number one, it is puncture proof, يعني بمعنى أنه ضد أنه ينخرج بالإبر وبالقزاز وكذا. It is a puncture proof, ما هو أي علبة بلاستيك. مع الأسف كنا في مكة قبل كم سنة في نسوي راوند على المستشفيات ونشوف, فكانوا جايبين علب قارورة الموية بثلاثة لتر أو الحليب بثلاثة لتر وحاطينه شارب كونتين. هذا في المستشفيات تابعة لوزارة الصحة. طبعا this is useless because it is not water, it's not puncture proof. فthis is it's a puncture proof. شيء ثاني, it has عليها خط لو لاحظتوا يحدد when to go. You should not fill it up completely. It has to be only 3/4. And if you fill it up, you will not be able to close it. And the sharps will go out of it. But it will cause more risk. الشرط الثالث أو المواصفة الثالثة لها أنه it has a safety closure. Once you close it, you cannot open it. معنى أنه once it is 3/4 full, nurse should close it and that's it. Nobody will be able to open it. فيجي عامل النظافة يشيلها كما هي و it will be disposed كما هي في عربيات أو النفايات الطبية وتحرق في المحرقة كاملة whatever it contains. It is very important that it has these characteristics. وفي أنواع وأحجام كثيرة. This is very important. فقلنا أنه to wear gloves. You should wear also what we call mucous membrane protection. So if you're doing a procedure and there is a risk that you may have splash in your body, so you should wear the gown which is waterproof. ممكن شفتوا زملاء اللي يسوون procedure أو يلبسون زي اللي يلبسون الجزارين تقريبا بلاستيك على كامل الجسم حتى ما يجيك. And you wear goggles اللي هو النظارات اللي تمنع أي شيء يجي على العيون. وهذه فيها طبعا أشكال وأنواع كثيرة, بعضها تجي ممسوكة بالماسك, فاتس ماسك وذ بلاستيك جوينج اب ذير, بعضها تجي الماسك لوحدها والجوجلز لوحدها. فيو دو ذس وين يو سسبكت ذات مايت بي فلويد سبلاش مثلا اثناء العمليات او اثناء الولاده. The last thing what you do is to avoid recapping needles, and this is very important. وانا جايب هالكيس في بعض الاشياء تجاريك لي. Needles, this is very common. Very common that you use needles to take blood or give medicine or whatever. And the most common mistake done is to recap it. يعني بعد ما استخدمها تجي تغطيها مرة ثانية. This is the commonest cause for needle injury. لأن مهما حاولت, at one time you will injure yourself. Okay. But the safest thing is not to recap it. تأخذ هذه وتحطها كلها في الشارب بوكس. شارب disposal box.
لو هي
سامبل طبعا يفترض انك اخذتها وحطيتها في العلبة الاخرى. إذا كانت بترسل سامبل في الـ في الـ في التيوب هذه and you have to recap it, then you do it by technique, special technique نسميه one hand technique. Don't use two hands. خلي هذه الغطاء على الطاولة and with one hand يدك هذه تخليها بعيدة عشان ما with one hand you try to take it like this. وبعد ما تكون ثابتة خلاص عاد you secure it with the other hand. This is called one hand technique for recapping. If you have to recap. الأصل don't recap. You should dispose this separately, and if there is a specimen, you put it in a separate container and send it to the lab or whatever. But if you have to recap, but sometimes we take, for example, aspirate and abscess, and we don't want to change it to another, we can recap it using single hand technique. And this is very important to avoid injury. طبعا تعرفون القاون هذا والجلوفز ما يحتاجون الاثنين. This is very important. This is all about sharp injuries and bloodborne. This is very very important. What else we can do to protect ourselves from these infections?
احنا بناخذ اي بي جي سامبل مثلا او اي شيء من السيم بيشنت. If it didn't work in the same time. نستخدم السيم نيدل ولا غير
النيدل؟ That's different يعني if you think it's contaminated, you can do. But the most important, we're talking about proper handling of the needle. If you want to dispose it, you dispose it and take a new one. That's okay. But you have to usually, يعني عشان توخر أحيانا. You need to remove the needle من ال syringe. وما تقدر تسويها طبعا إلا باستخدام الغطاء. أو باستخدام ال شو اسمه الكلام. But most of the time you don't have a clamp. So you recap it using single hand technique. Okay. Okay. This is about sharps. نروح what other infections. خلصنا من bloodborne pathogens. What other infections?
Respiratory borne
or airborne. Like what? What are the most important?
TB.
Tuberculosis. This is the single most important infection you should avoid to get. Okay. It's not easy to avoid patients with TB. You can be faced with any patient, and you never know that he is TB active except after 2-3 days. So the most important is that you suspect the case. Whenever you suspect the patient to have a TB, he should be in isolation, and you should start what we call airborne isolation technique. And airborne isolation technique يعتمد على ثلاثة أشياء. The first thing is the appropriate room, which is negative pressure room. Which is available عادة في أغراض في الطوارئ. Once you suspect the patient to be an open pulmonary TB, you should be moved to a negative pressure room, which is negative pressure معناته إنه تسحب الهواء ويطلع ما يرجع على برا. All the bacilli in the air will go out. They will not go out through the main corridor. This is very important. The second is to use the appropriate isolation, which is the special mask. تختلف عن surgical mask.
Yeah.
يمكن شفتوها. It's called respirator mask. لا طبعا عدة أنواع. هذه واحدة منهم اللي موجودة عندنا في المستشفى. وفي بعضها زرقاء مدورة زي نصف الطاقية أو زي الطاقية. But it is a it's called respirator mask. It's different from surgical mask in a sense that it fits very well under around the mouth, so the air doesn't go around it. يفترض إنه doesn't go around. لكن واحد عنده لحية زي كذا, it may go around. The second, it filters very small particles. Okay, so they don't all the air will go through the mask, and this mask filters those small particles as small as 1 micron, which is the much smaller than the tubercle bacillus. But this is very important. Surgical masks do not protect from TB. This is, should be very clear. Okay. These are the two most important regarding. Other contact isolation using gloves and using gown. You may use it if you want to come close to the patient, very close to the patient. But this you have to do it even when you are far from the patient, before you enter the patient. And isolating patient with suspected TB is not important for you only, it's for also the sake of the patients. Because إذا دخلت المريض في غرفة فيها ستة أشخاص, he will infect them. This is very important. What other respiratory or airborne infections which we should?
Flu.
Meningitis, is it an airborne transmitted? How is meningitis transmitted? Which have been meningitis transmission and tuberculosis transmission?
Droplets.
Which have been droplets? Droplets, yes. It's not an airborne pathogen. يعني الميكروب ما يسبح في الهواء. بينما tuberculosis الميكروب يسبح في الهواء ويجلس في الغرفة بعد ما يطلع المريض لعدة ساعات. You can inhale it. While the droplets, no, the microbe is found in the drops. الآن وأنا أتكلم معاكم, the drops come out from my mouth, لكن لا تطيح بحدود متر ونص. But even if I have meningitis, I will not infect you. بيني وبينكم مسافة مترين وهي أو أكثر. بينما if I have tuberculosis, I will spread it to you. Okay? So a droplet is different. You don't need a negative pressure room. You don't need to use respirator. It's enough to put the patient in a single room and to use surgical mask and to use gloves, because also it can be transmitted by hands, by contact. So meningitis is not an airborne transmitted, it's droplet transmitted. زي زي كل viral infections. Meningitis is not a viral. We're talking about viral infections. It's influenza, common cold, parainfluenza, RSV, كلهم. Except two or three main viral infections. With chickenpox, varicella is an airborne, and measles is partially airborne, and to some extent maybe RSV. For this, you need to put them in negative pressure rooms and use a respirator mask. Like all the others, you have to use contact isolation for droplets. طيب, any other?
Anthrax.
Anthrax? No. ما في anthrax. Not necessarily in covering the blood, but he should have an open TB. And he has pulmonary tuberculosis, and they have positive smear when you do smear. So it doesn't have to be blood. And even laryngeal tuberculosis, they may not have sputum at all. Pulmonary, they will usually have cough and sputum. Doesn't have to be blood. No, not necessarily.
Is there any precaution when I'm dealing with patients with TB, when I take my history?
That's what I told you. You should put mask, you should move the patient to the...
I'm in ER and I'm taking
you're history. You're in ER, you should suspect. When do you suspect a patient to have tuberculosis?
Clinically, by symptoms.
Clinically plus chest x-ray. The patient has history of 2-3 weeks, history of cough and weight loss and poor appetite, night sweating, and you do chest x-ray, you find that you have an upper lobe infiltrates with a cavity, then it's strongly suspect tuberculosis. يعني ما تستطيع أنه من كل مريض you use all these precautions. عشان كذا it's very difficult to be 100% accurate in protecting yourself from patients. You will be exposed definitely. But what we do usually is to screen everybody for tuberculosis at the beginning. And it's recommended for those who work in high endemic areas to be repeated the skin test every year. So they may, if they converted from negative to positive, they should get ILH prophylaxis. So المفروض كلكم تاخذون skin test, tuberculosis skin test. And if it is positive, you should be checked with chest x-ray. If it's negative, it should be rechecked after 1 year. طبعاً in the West, they categorize special groups like pulmonologists, those working in respiratory lab, and those working in the ER. But in our community, all of us are exposed, regardless of our specialty, because the disease is endemic, and you can be in primary care, in the ER, or even a surgeon, and you'll be exposed to tuberculosis. It is recommended that you have the regular screening for tuberculosis. طيب, so the last aspect is how to protect ourselves from all this. احنا قلنا تكلمنا عن risk or of the يعني special precautions for special infections, but in general what we supposed to do?
Screening program. Screening program for
screening, okay, screening for what?
Vaccination
program, okay, this is probably more accurate than screening. Screening, yes, we do it like tuberculin skin test. We can do screen people for immunity against varicella or measles or others. Then vaccination program, which is very important. All healthcare workers should be vaccinated for certain diseases. Who can tell me what diseases we should be vaccinated?
Hepatitis B.
Hepatitis B. This is the one of the most important. Are you vaccinated? في أي أحد ما أخذ vaccine? Hepatitis B, 3 doses. So all of you were vaccinated. Okay. That's important. What other vaccines?
TB.
TB. TB, طبعاً, is not protective, and all of you had children with BCG, but it's not really protective. It's not one of the vaccines.
Annual vaccination.
Influenza vaccine. Annual influenza vaccine. This is very, very important to get every year vaccinated for influenza. And even influenza is a minor disease, and usually it is self-limited, but it can cause problems for both patients and healthcare setting. Because influenza is an epidemic disease, it can cause epidemics in the healthcare setting, and it can cause problems for the patient. So you can spread it to your patient, spread it to your colleagues. And because it's an epidemic or highly contagious disease, it can affect the manpower of the institute. لنفرض أنه والله واحدة من المريضات مثلاً أو الأطباء في العناية المركزة جاء الانفلونزا وجاء وأعدى مثلاً معظم العاملين في الوحدة العمارية المركزة. ف you get 1 week مثلاً 50% or 30% of your nurses are having flu. So you'll have a crash in the ICU because people did not take the vaccine because they got influenza. Outbreaks of influenza have been occurred in long-term care facilities, in hospitals. We'll report it. So it's very important to get the vaccine. It's not only to protect yourself, it's also to protect your patients and to help the institute not to get outbreaks among the healthcare workers. But it is very important. So influenza, annual influenza vaccine. What else?
Hepatitis A.
Hepatitis A, yes, it's recommended for those who are not immune to get hepatitis A vaccine.
It's in the community.
Yes. What else?
Maybe yellow fever.
Yellow fever is endemic in certain areas. It is transmitted by mosquito, so it's not a healthcare. It's not a healthcare associated infection. Sickler, طبعاً, if you are sickler, regardless if you are healthcare worker or not, I'm talking about healthcare workers. If you are sickler, yes, you should get the pneumococcal vaccine, regardless of what your job is. عشان اختصار الوقت, I will just list them for you. So, قلنا hepatitis B, قلنا annual influenza, you should get also varicella zoster vaccine, chickenpox, if you are not immune. If you are immune, you had a chickenpox as a child, you don't need it. If you are not sure, you can check yourself if you have enough antibodies. That's enough. Otherwise, you should get chickenpox vaccine or varicella vaccine. Measles, mumps, and rubella. You should get it because you can be exposed, and you can, even if you had the vaccine as a child, you need a booster dose. This is very important. So these are the 3 or 4 vaccines which every healthcare worker should get. Okay, and this is very important. Plus the screening for tuberculosis, MAFI vaccine for tuberculosis, but screening with tuberculosis skin test. And then annually to see for those who are negative. Other than vaccination, also how can we protect ourselves?
Washing our hands between the
patients. Okay, so washing hands is one important aspect of preventing healthcare infections, not only for yourself, but also for your patients. So hand hygiene, which include hand washing and alcohol hand drop, is considered the single most important practice which should be done by all care workers to prevent spread of the infection. اليوم قبل شوي قبل أجيكم شفنا مريض في السيرجيكال آي سي عمره 13 سنة. جاي قبل 4 أيام يوم 21 ديسمبر حادث سيارة وعنده كسور وعنده كذا ودخل من الطوارئ للعناية المركز. الآن he is colonized with Acinetobacter, resistant to all antibiotics in the chest, in the blood. And this came from the next patient, just in the other room, the same. So somebody must have carried this organism by his hand or her hand to this patient. It's not in the community. المريض هذا ما جابها من السيارة من الحادث ولا من مكانه. جابها بعد ما دخل المستشفى. وما جته طائرة. ما تسبح البكتيريا. البكتيريا comes we carry it. But all the multi-drug resistant bacteria, like MRSA, Staph aureus MRSA, or multi-drug resistant to gram-negative bacteria, we carry it in our hands. Okay? Or we carry it in contaminated instruments. مثلا استخدام نفس الستيثوسكوب between patients او استخدام contaminated instruments او حتى الراديولوجي تكنيشن لما يجي يصور الإشعاع هذا وينقل نفس الجهاز contaminated يحطه على الجهاز الثاني وهكذا. And the whole environment is contaminated. You find the organism is found in the table, on the floor, in the bed rails. But even if you do not touch the patient himself and you touch the bed sheets or the bed, you will carry the organism in your hands. And you can take it to the other. So washing hands is very, very important to not to prevent spread of those bacteria. And this is the most important single thing. The other parts is going to talk about proper disposal of all waste. We talked about sharp waste using the special sharp containers. But we have different wastes, مثلا, infectious wastes, which all blood products, all contaminated sheets, patient sheets, or which can have pus. يعني شفتوا مرضى عندهم جروح وغيار الجروح الشاش الملوث والعمليات. But this is called considered infectious waste. Pus, the wounds, urine of patients, stool of patients, all these are considered contaminated. It can contaminate the patient bed, patient sheets, or so. All these should be disposed again in a special method. يكون فصل الزبالة هذه ابتداء at the room site in special containers labeled as infectious waste. And it should be in bags which are closed and again disposed separately. The regular waste, the زبالة العادية, تكون مفصولة لوحدها. But proper waste disposal is very, very important. Okay? This is another aspect. In hand hygiene, proper hand hygiene, proper waste disposal. And the third one is proper isolation procedures for patients who are suspected to be infectious. فهتكلمنا عن airborne isolation for TB, for chickenpox, and for measles with a special airborne isolation اللي يتكون قلنا من negative pressure room using respirator mask plus gloves and gowns. Contact isolation, which is basically isolating yourself from the patient through the barriers. Barriers طبعا هم ثلاث أشياء رئيسية: the gown and the gloves and the mask, surgical mask. هذه مع بعض تسمى personal protective equipment, PPE. And these are important to protect yourself from contamination with the organism and from taking those organisms to other patients. طبعا, with this, hand hygiene is very important. The gloves is not enough. You have to do hand hygiene before you put in gloves, and you have to do hand hygiene after you take off the gloves. لاحظ بعض الممارسين خاصة النيرسز تلبس الجلوفز تلقاها تدور من مريض لمريض. هنا فهمية ما فهمت ليش أصلا لابس الجلوفز. لابس الجلوفز هي عشان تحمي نفسها وليست عشان تحمي المريض. فإذا the contaminated gloves إذا تنتقل من غرفة لغرفة it's the same as your bare hands, so you will carry the organism. So you should change the gloves between patients and even between procedures. لنفرض أنك دخلت عند المريض تسوي فحصته, أوكي, بعدين حبيت تسوي له blood gases. But you should take off the gloves which you use to examine the patient and put in new gloves after doing hand hygiene before you do blood gases or draw blood or do any procedure. Okay? But this is very important. The other isolation, airborne contact isolation, droplet isolation, which should include mask plus single room. And special conditions, special isolations, it depends on the case condition. يعني collectively هذه الأشياء مع بعض سميها standard precaution. You should use it with every patient. Okay? But you should be cautious with every patient. Consider every patient to be infectious to protect yourself and protect your patients. But you should use those standard precautions with every patient except the special isolation procedures if you suspect that the patient may have this disease, this or that disease. Hand hygiene, طبعا, I will show you the movie.
طيب دكتور سؤال بس.
ها تفضل.
الحين طيب for example surgeon gets skin breaking by needle for example. What the procedures are?
طبعا there is a protocol for this. So the patient has to be.
I mean for the surgeon.
Huh? Yeah, for the surgeon. There is protocol for any person who get a trauma. But the patient has should be screened to see if he the patient should be screened to see if he has any hepatitis B or C or HIV, and the doctor or the nurse who was injured should be screened, and if the person is not vaccinated, he should get his vaccine. طبعا بالنسبة للستاندرد patients ما عندك مشكلة, but a patient who's in isolation and you know that he has a multi-resistant organism, he should have his stethoscope. It is clean between patients. لا نخليه فول سكرين.
طلع من كنترول بيبس.
دبل كليك على الصورة.
Hand hygiene is an essential procedure for all healthcare providers. It's from the New England. New England Journal.
This is a video in clinical medicine from the New England Journal of Medicine.
Infection associated with healthcare is the most common adverse event affecting hospitalized patients. Hand hygiene is the most important preventive measure against these infections, but compliance with this simple procedure among healthcare providers is often below 40%. Hand hygiene is an essential procedure for all healthcare providers. It serves four different purposes in the healthcare setting. Hand hygiene prevents nosocomial infection in patients and the cross-transmission of microorganisms between patients. Hand hygiene prevents contamination of the hospital environment with potential pathogens. Finally, it helps protect healthcare workers from occupational infectious diseases, such as infection with the human immunodeficiency virus and hepatitis C virus.
Please watch how we do it. Huh?
This video would demonstrate the various indications to perform hand hygiene, as well as two different hand hygiene techniques: hand rubbing with an alcohol-based hand rub formulation, and hand washing with soap and water. This video will also review hand hygiene equipment, the appropriate use of gloves, and policies on jewelry and fingernail hygiene. We will also review selected complications associated with hand hygiene and make suggestions about how to avoid them. Finally, we will comment on religious and cultural issues concerning hand hygiene. Hand hygiene to prepare for surgical procedures will not be addressed in this video. To perform adequate hand hygiene, you will need an alcohol-based hand rub formulation, or soap, water, and drying agents such as disposable paper or cloth towels. Use alcohol-based hand rubs with proven antimicrobial efficacy. These usually contain 60-80% ethanol, isopropanol, or N-propanol, or a combination of these products. These hand rubs are supplemented with emollients to protect the skin. They are available as liquid solutions or gels, sprays, or foams. Containers with these products should be easily available within arm's reach, either at the point of care, that is within 3 feet of the most likely use, or should be carried in small bottles by healthcare providers for their own personal use. Soaps are detergents that can remove lipids and dirt. The antibacterial effect of soaps results from their capacity to dislodge bacteria from the skin when combined with the rinsing effect of running water. The indications for the use of hand hygiene by healthcare workers have been clearly defined by numerous organizations, including the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the World Health Organization. We will now review these indications. We will first review some of the basic principles of cross-transmission of microbial pathogens. The skin and mucous membranes of every human being are colonized by various microbial species. When hospitalized, patients gradually shed these microorganisms onto inanimate objects in their immediate surroundings, for example, onto bed linens, gowns, and bedside furniture. Hospitals contain a multitude of environments. Some of these, dubbed patient zones, consist of a patient and his or her immediate surroundings. As a result of contamination by both healthcare workers and patients, other areas of the healthcare setting, such as corridors and public areas, are also colonized with microorganisms, though to a lesser extent than patient rooms. Cross-transmission of potential pathogens from one environment to another occurs through healthcare workers' hands. Hand hygiene greatly reduces the risk of cross-transmission by this route. Healthcare workers must perform hand hygiene immediately before touching a patient or when entering a patient zone. This will prevent cross-transmission of microbes from one patient to another. The correct moment to perform hand hygiene before touching a patient is critical. Hand hygiene should be performed close to the site of care in order to avoid recontamination should your hands inadvertently come into contact with an object distant from the patient, the doorknob, for example. Perform hand hygiene between the last hand to serve as contact with an object located outside the patient zone and the first within
shaking
the
hand with
zone.
The patient is considered contact.
You should also perform hand hygiene just after touching a patient and
contact.
Before touching
shaking
any object located outside
contact
the patient
with
zone.
The is contact.
This will limit the risk of germ dissemination to the healthcare environment. Even if you did not touch the patient, perform hand hygiene after touching objects located in the vicinity of the patient. For example, perform hand hygiene after touching a monitor, bedside table, or bed rail, since these may also be contaminated by the patient's microbial flora. There are body regions that must be kept as free of microorganisms as possible. These include zones of impaired host defense, such as breaks in skin and mucous membranes, surgical wounds, for example, or sites of invasive device insertion, such as vascular or urinary catheters and endotracheal tubes. Microorganisms that colonize the healthcare worker's hands, the patient's skin, or immediate surroundings must not be introduced into these zones of lowered immune protection. For these reasons, perform hand hygiene immediately before touching non-intact skin and before manipulating invasive devices. This will prevent colonization, which may subsequently lead to infection. Examples of critical procedures include wound care, tracheal suctioning, removing the dressing of a central venous line, giving an injection, and lumbar puncture. Finally, hand hygiene helps to protect the healthcare worker. Some patient care activities may expose healthcare workers to potentially infectious pathogens. In consequence, perform hand hygiene after contact with body fluids, mucous membranes, non-intact skin, or wound dressings, even in the absence of visible soiling and even when gloves have been used. There are two recognized techniques for performing hand hygiene, hand rubbing with an alcohol-based formulation and hand washing with soap and water. To perform hand rubbing, apply a palmful of hand rub formulation to a cupped hand and rub your hands together to cover all surfaces, then rub your hands again, palm to palm. To reach the dorsal interdigital area of your hand, rub the fingers of one hand over the dorsum of the other and interlace your fingers. Repeat the procedure on the palmar side of your hands to reach the palmar interdigital area. To cleanse the dorsal aspect of the distal phalanges, rub the back of your fingers across the palm of the other hand, with fingers interlocked. To cleanse the base of the thumb, clasp it in the palm of your other hand and rotate your thumb. Finally, decontaminate the tip of your fingers and the subungual region by rotating them on the palm of the other hand. Once dry, your hands are safe and you are ready to work. The entire procedure should take you 20 to 30 seconds. To perform hand hygiene with soap and water, wet your hands with water and apply the amount of soap necessary to cover all surfaces. Avoid using hot water as it may increase the risk of dermatitis. Rub your hands vigorously to cover all surfaces. then complete the hand washing procedure by following the steps previously described for the hand rubbing procedure. Once your hands have been thoroughly decontaminated, rinse them with water. Use a disposable paper towel to dry your hands. Gently pat your skin rather than rubbing it. Hands may also be dried using cloth towels or hot air dryers. However, avoid reusable towels. Turn off the faucet using a paper towel to prevent recontamination. Your hands are now safe and you are ready to work. The entire procedure should take 40 to 60 seconds. Hand rubbing with an alcohol-based formulation is the preferred hand cleansing procedure in most clinical situations. The main advantages of alcohol-based hand rubs as opposed to soap and water include availability at the point of care, greater antimicrobial efficacy, faster use, and better tolerability by the skin. There are a few specific indications for which hand washing should be performed instead of hand rubbing. Hand washing must be conducted when the hands are visibly contaminated with blood or body fluids, and when the hands are visibly contaminated with proteinaceous material. Hand washing must also be performed after exposure to spore-forming organisms, for example, after caring for patients with diarrhea associated with Clostridium difficile, or after exposure to Bacillus anthracis. Finally, hand washing should be performed after using the restroom. Gloves serve two different purposes. They prevent transmission of microorganisms from the healthcare worker's hands to the patient, and they reduce the risk of healthcare workers acquiring infections from patients. Sterile gloves are not necessary during routine patient care. Clean, non-sterile examination gloves must be worn during patient care activities that may involve exposure to potentially infectious material. This includes exposure to blood, body fluids, mucous membranes, and non-intact skin, and also manipulation of invasive devices close to their insertion site or when visibly soiled. Gloves must also be worn when caring for patients who are colonized or infected with pathogens transmitted by the contact route. For example, Clostridium difficile, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, and vancomycin-resistant Enterococcus. Limit unnecessary use of gloves. For example, gloves are not indicated when taking a patient's temperature, placing oxygen cannula, or manipulating vascular lines in the absence of leakage. You must always perform hand hygiene after removing gloves, as the gloves may have defects and hand contamination may occur during removal. Alcohol may degrade glove material and lead to holes and leakage. For this reason, do not disinfect or reuse gloves. And remember, glove use does not replace the need to perform hand hygiene. When an indication for hand hygiene occurs while you are wearing gloves, you must remove the gloves, perform hand hygiene, and put on another pair if the use of gloves is still indicated. Wearing jewelry such as rings increases the bacterial load of the skin. Do not wear rings and bracelets during patient care. If you have a wedding ring, a simple alternative is to wear it on a chain around your neck. In some settings, wedding rings may be tolerated. Review and comply with the policy in place at your healthcare facility. Long fingernails have been associated with infection outbreaks of resistant pathogens in healthcare settings. As a result, you must keep your fingernails short, less than 0.2 inches or half a centimeter in length, and refrain from wearing artificial nails. Use of these products in healthcare settings has been associated with outbreaks of infection with resistant pathogens. Nail polish is acceptable, providing its integrity is preserved. However, fingernail diseases such as onychomycosis should be promptly treated as they may reduce the efficacy of hand hygiene. There are some common problems associated with hand hygiene. Irritation dermatitis can occur after repeated use of hand hygiene products. Common symptoms include dryness, itching, and sometimes cracking and bleeding. In rare cases, allergic dermatitis can occur. Damaged skin is more difficult to disinfect and may be more susceptible to skin colonization, leading to transmission. To prevent skin irritation, use skincare products frequently during work shifts. These products should be freely and widely available in your healthcare facility. You should also use alcohol-based hand rubs. Avoid the use of hot water when washing hands. Refrain from using gloves unless specifically needed. And dry your hands completely before donning gloves. Alcohols are flammable. Although exceedingly rare, flash fires involve care workers can occur if caregivers touch open flames or if a static spark occurs when hands are still covered. To prevent
كده 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 تفرج مهم ترى هذا.